Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Let me tell you a story. A family was really excited to finally have the opportunity to build a house of their own. They thought the housing prices, we all know, were going to dictate their future to be a future of renting and not ownership. They'd never thought they'd have the privilege. Well, how did they get it? A couple had heard about their plight, heard their story, decided to subdivide off some of their land and give it to them as a gift. How generous is that? Well, the family drew up some plans and they decided that they would build this house themselves. They showed the plans to the couple, and the couple gave some suggestions and tips. The girl was an architect, the guy was a builder. So they knew a few things. They liked the plans and said, if we can be of any help, let us know. One day the couple went to see how the family was going because they hadn't really seen any decent decent progress. And they were all living squished in a caravan. Things weren't moving forward. They used a lot of money and a lot of time and energy, but they got nowhere because they didn't have the right tools for the job. The couple said, why haven't you asked us for help? And disenchanted, the father said, well, I just kind of wanted to do it myself. We're not sure why it's not working out. We've been watching the YouTube clips and we've been trying to do it, but it's just not all lining up. The couple responded, well, why didn't you ask? We've got all the tools in our shed. It's the same for a church family without the spiritual gifts activated in the community. We can have all the worldly wisdom. We can speak all the truth we like, but when we don't use the tools that the Father provided for us and that are designed to see God's kingdom advance in and through us, we'll be like the family without a house. Building a church family without the spiritual gifts is like building a house without the right tools. But we're not looking for someone else to come with the trade skills to make it happen. You see, God's gathered a group of people and he wants to bless us with the gifts and unlock the gifts among us. You may be the one that God gifts or has gifts that God's just wanting to unlock inside of you. This morning, as we look at the gift of faith, it's a gift that excites, energizes, activates, and releases a church to be all that it can be. It's able to create an atmosphere of faith for other believers to step into, even unbelievers to step into. It's a gift that sits behind the miraculous, the prophetic, healing, deliverance, divine enabling to see the creative outworking of God at work in our world. But when we read the Bible, what is faith about? Well, broadly speaking, as we read the Bible, there's three types of faith. There's conversion faith, continuing faith, and charismatic faith. I'm going to give you a brief outline of all three before unpacking faith further. And as I've studied this gift, I felt God desiring this gift to change our faith. It might not be that you have the gift of faith, but looking at faith, I believe, will be transformational for us. And so let's pray. Father, we pray that you fill our hearts with hope, an expectancy of what you can and will do. We pray that you'd raise our faith to align with what you see, that you'd open our ears to hear what you speak. Whatever is pure, godly, wise, and beautiful, capture our hearts with that, Lord. Capture our hearts with your voice. You're beautiful, Lord. Capture our hearts. The spiritual gifts, Lord, are your gifts. Because you are beautiful and they are your gifts, we declare, Lord, your gifts to be beautiful. You're a good father and you know how to give good gifts. And so as we unwrap what you give to us, unwrap in us an eagerness to receive from you. We welcome you with an open minds and hearts to speak wisdom and revelation by your Holy Spirit so that we may know you better. And as we're rooted in you by faith, we ask that you produce through us the fruit of your Holy Spirit so that others may know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. So three types of faith. Conversion faith. Let's look at that first. It's faith leading to salvation in Jesus. Every Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, you have this kind of faith. When we first believed and put our trust in Jesus and his death to reconcile us to the Father and give us the gift of eternal life. What we received was the gift of conversion faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 speaks of it this way. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." This conversion faith. "And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Romans 5, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." Well, the second type of faith is a continuing faith. It's the everyday kind of faith of every Christian that we walk in. It's a faith to obey and follow without knowing necessarily the results or the outcome, or even seeing the results of your faithfulness. It's the fruit of faith produced by the Holy Spirit in every believer as we walk lives full of the Holy Spirit. In this faith, there's a healthy expectancy of how God might work. We know from Scripture and from our lives how God's worked in the past, and so we have a healthy expectancy of how he might work in the future, a quiet confidence in the dependability or the faithfulness of God. Hebrews 11:6 speaks of it this way. It says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Hebrews goes on to say that it's by faith that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all the people that lived throughout Scripture, they walked by faith. And it says right at the end that they didn't receive what was promised to them. And so this is the continuing walk of faith. But what they did see was moments where the gift of faith was in operation and miraculous things happened. Romans 1:17, it's not up there, says the righteous will live by faith. There's a sense our salvation comes and is continued by faith, and that's connected together. Romans 12:3 says that it's faith that God had, that it is a faith that God has distributed to each of us. And then what you got up on the screen here, Romans 12:6, instructs us to use the gifts according to the measure of faith that we have. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, serve. If it's teaching, teach, and it goes on. Do you want to know some good news? The measure of faith is not something that's stagnant. It's something that changes and can grow. And so as we use gifts, we don't always operate in the same way. As our faith grows, the measure as to which God can work through us can grow. The third type of faith is charismatic faith, so the spiritual charisma, gift of faith. If continuing faith was a faith to obey and follow without knowing necessarily the results or necessarily even seeing the results of our faithfulness, then charismatic faith is a faith to obey where you see the result. We often obey out of faithfulness and don't always see the results our hearts desire as we pray. We're faithful because we long to please God and we trust in his faithfulness and we want to see him work. But the gift of faith is a faith to obey and follow where we see the result of our faithfulness, often immediately. For example, you have faith someone will be healed, the gift of faith, and they're healed in that moment. You have faith God will miraculously supply a need at a certain time, and he supplies it at that certain time. You have faith God wants to bring someone to faith, and in that moment they come to faith. James 5:15-18 says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. This is the gift of faith. It's not a measure of our continuing faith being lesser if we don't see the fruit of the person being well. The gift of faith operates in this way. It goes on to say Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crop. Joshua speaks of how Joshua spoke to the sun, and it stood still for a full day. Mark 4, we see Jesus spoke to the storm, and the storm did what? It stopped. When we receive the gift of faith, it's a supernatural empowerment of confidence that this is what God is wanting to do now. It's not something worked up. It's this mysterious surge of confidence that rises from the inside of the spirit man or woman in a particular situation for a need or a challenge in which we see God's extraordinary, miraculous fold out because of that surge of faith. The gift always produces the results as we're obedient to the calling of God. Sam Storm says the gift of faith is the condition or the atmosphere in which all of the miraculous gifts seem to operate. It's in which the miraculous activities of God are suspended. The good news is that any member of the body of Christ is open to receive this gift. It's not reserved for a select few, but it's often an occasional or spontaneous gift rather than a residential gift such that everything someone prays happens. It's enacted in connection with other gifts of healing, prophecy, miraculous, and the deliverance. And what it is, it's the gift or the impartation of a divine faith. So God giving us a portion of his faith, and his faith always achieves the results. It's kind of like the Old Testament prophecy is different from New Testament prophecy. What the Old Testament prophet spoke was the very word of God. And so this gift of faith speaks the very word of God. And as it says in Ezekiel 12:25, the Lord says, "For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass." So when God says something, what happens? What he says. The gift of faith is as if God has spoken directly through a person. And so what he says happens. Let me draw a distinction, because over time you may have heard of a movement called the Word of Faith movement. It's not all bad, but someone went a little bit too far, and a guy called Kenneth Hagin talks about how God begins to honor our words and desires as his own and then miraculously brings to pass what we speak as a result. No, the gift of faith is not about that. It's about God giving us his desire and his words, so it's not us working our desires and God honoring them, but it's his desire working out, and that's why we see the result. But it doesn't always need to be spoken. The Apostle Peter had this gift, and what we see is him walking down the streets and people bringing out people that are sick into the streets, that his shadow may pass by people, and as his shadow passed by, these people were healed. That's the gift of faith in operation along with healing, the miraculous. So let me give you a summary. A definition of these three. Conversion faith, it's about saving faith. Continuing faith, it's a faith to obey and follow no matter the result. Charismatic faith, it's a faith to obey and follow that always produces results. Lord, give us this gift. Now we have a framework. I really want to unpack faith, because this is where my heart really gets excited, because I think faith is exciting. In our Bible, we had the Bible reading that Doug read. And Jesus spoke to the fig tree on behalf of the Father, and the fig tree responded and it shriveled. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and the person of faith carries power in their tongue. And so that's why we watch our words. And as we bring our tongue in alignment with the Father, it is able to work miraculously in this world. As a Christian, you may speak when you speak from your heart desire, or you may speak on behalf of the Father. So when we pray, you may hear someone pray that God would heal a sickness, and then you might hear someone pray for or command something to be healed. So we might speak to something on behalf of God, a sickness, or we may speak to God on behalf of something. I think this speaking to something on behalf of God is when we come into alignment with a gift of faith, that God actually gives us that. And so that's the context for using that. Rod will unpack more as he speaks about healing. Our continuing faith is about speaking to God on behalf of something. The gift of faith is about speaking to something on behalf of God. See, this person has received a special impartation of God's faith with the gift of faith, and they express God's will through words. These words are just as authoritative as if God himself has spoken, and that's why they produce the results. We don't lay hands on a mountain and we don't perform a miracle over it. What Jesus says in this parable is we say to the mountain, Matthew 21:21, say to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If we're speaking with the gift of faith, that mountain has to do what it's told to do. Receiving the answer of the gift of faith comes as we speak the words. Jeremiah, as a prophet, and a lot of the Old Testament prophets, they literally consumed God's words and they lived God's words. And when God's word went forth from the mouth of Jeremiah, it happened because it was just as effective as God himself had spoken, because he was speaking the very words of God. So there's a linkage between words of knowledge, the other gifts, prophecy, and the gift of faith. When I talk about words of knowledge, prophecy, and words of wisdom, and this gift, knowledge, the word of knowledge is a gift that reveals information about a situation. Word of prophecy speaks God's heart into that place. And a word of wisdom points to God's way. And then the person who receives that is then given an opportunity to respond and partner with God for that word to happen. When you interact the gift of faith with these things, these things become like a vehicle, and faith is like the road. And so as you speak a word of knowledge, revealing some information, and then you speak God's heart, aligned with the gift of faith, you don't really need a word of wisdom because it is aligned with the gift of faith, it's going to happen. See, with a car, if it's not started, it goes nowhere. So if you don't speak the word of knowledge or the word of prophecy, it will go nowhere. But if you don't have faith, it's kind of like you don't have the road to go anywhere. But once you have those things, stuff begins to happen. Graham Cook shared a really powerful illustration of this at work, the gift of faith along with the word of prophecy. And he spoke of a time when he was in front of a congregation. He called a guy up in front and had a word for him. And he said to him, you're God's gentleman. And the leaders of the church are going, nah, don't say this. This is the worst guy in the church. He was causing trouble. He was negative. He was pulling his marriage apart. He was pulling other people apart. This was not a gentleman. And so Graham spoke this word, and I can't remember the exact details, but he gave a time, like within 3 months, I think it was, that you're going to see the fruit of this word. And the guy said, well, I'm going to make you a bet that in 3 months you won't see the fruit of this word. And so this guy was not going to respond to the word at all. And Graham said, well, I'll raise you up. And he raised him more money. And for a couple of months, this guy went about and he tried to just live opposite to the word that had been spoken against him. He was separated from his wife. His life was going down the gurgler. He wasn't turning up to church. And it was a point just before the end of the 3 months that he just broke. And he came to this point of just deep conviction, realizing all that he'd done. He repented before all the people, said, you've got to forgive me to his wife. And within this 3 months, this guy became the gentle man. And so that's the word of prophecy combined with a gift of faith. If you've got words not tested, not spoken, or without results, pray for the gift of faith. But what about continuing faith? Why would we want to grow in it? Well, there's a direct correlation between the measure of your continuing faith and your experience of joy. Love manifests in various ways, yet love restrained through the absence of faith hinders the flow of joy. See, faith, it is something that's cultivated. It's something that grows, that we care for. The fruit tree full grown is more likely to produce a good crop of fruit than the fruit tree that is still a small seedling. Faith grown, exercised, and stood in will grow stronger. When the enemy attacks, as you stand firm against him in faith, it will grow stronger. What we often do is we can just hide under the shelter of faith of others, but God calls us all to continue and to grow up in faith. In church, your leaders have a covering of faith for you. A continuing faith that covers you, but it covers you as you choose to sit under leadership. What are you going to experience as you step out from community and leadership? Is that covering of faith that comes from the community and the leadership of the community is not going to be over your life? Imagine a tree that extends its branches over you. But as we sit under leadership, we may receive shade from their tree. Think about it. The faith of a believing wife sanctifies her unbelieving husband. In the same way, vice versa, a believing husband and unbelieving wife. Faith of a parent sanctifies a child. This is ongoing faith. Faith is a covering or a protection over a household. And so our continuing faith branches out from us into the lives of others to share the shelter or the protection with them. When it's empowered with this gift, what it does is it produces the kind of results that Paul experienced in Acts 19, where even the handkerchiefs that had touched him were laid on people and they were healed. Matthew 13, I was just reminded of this verse as we were praying before. When, in verse 31, Jesus tells them a parable about the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and has planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, and it becomes a tree so that the birds may come and perch in its branches." And faith is the currency of the kingdom. Let me expand on faith a little bit further. Faith is not an expectation or assumption. See, continuing faith has an expectancy that God can do something because we've seen him do something, but not a surety that he will. Often what we call faith can arise from good earthly wishes or intent. The gift of faith has a confidence that God can do something and will do something. Expectations kind of come from a place where we haven't received revelation, where we deeply have good desires to see God to work, but they're often demands, desires that turn into demands of God, and the fruit is often disappointment. Assumption can be connected to faith, to a faith that God can and desires to heal, but as we assume, it's often done without revelation from God that he is going to heal. But faith and assumption are not the same. You see, our presumption happens when we claim healing without a revelatory warrant from God, where we have no revelation that it is God's will to heal in this way right now. But, Rod, you can sort out our challenges with healing over the coming weeks. But the environment of faith is the place where faith for healing rises as we hear testimonies of faith and as we believe, not as we expect or assume God's going to work in this way. And as we speak scripture and testimony, it fans faith into flame. But faith is not just a feeling we work up. It's a fruit tree we feed. You see, faith is not a weapon by which I can demand things from God, but it's a place of us realizing who he is and what he is capable of. He can do all things. If you look at Galatians 5:22, as I talked about faith, you in your translation will see the word faithfulness as the fruit of the Spirit. But in the Greek, the word means both faith and faithfulness. It's used interchangeably. They're connected to the same thing, a spectrum of the same thing. So how do we understand that? Well, using that image of a tree, they're of the same tree. The Spirit, imagine the Spirit is water and it produces fruit in us. But the life flow of the Spirit is what? It's faith. So if the Spirit is what feeds us, the water that comes, then we as spiritual trees draw from the ground. So faith is the roots and the branches of a tree. And so where does faithfulness come? Faithfulness is the fruit that's produced on the tree. Fruit along with love, joy, peace, and the other fruit of the Spirit. So faith are the roots. The water that comes up through the roots is the Spirit. Faith is the roots and the branches, and faithfulness is the leaves and the fruit. The Spirit is as water, and let's extend this metaphor, is drawn up through the roots and the branches as what? As we, as spiritual trees, look to the sun. You're beginning to see how essential faith is and how much it is able to change our lives. You see, faith is the very flow through which the Spirit moves, and so we're all called to this continuing faith. Well, what happens, though, when you get a fruit tree and you put it in a pot? What you do is you limit the growth of the tree, don't you? That the tree is only able to produce a certain size fruit based on the size of the pot that it's in. There's special trees designed for small pots, and I really do not like kumquats. So you may, but that's a terrible fruit. I like big trees with their luscious. A full-grown orange is a real fruit, not a kumquat. But when you put a fruit tree in a pot, it restricts its growth. Does a tree know better? No, it's not going to know better than to dig its roots into what it has. It's not going to know better until it's able to extend its roots into more soil, fresh soil. If a tree outgrows its pot, well, you have a couple of options. You can prune the tree, you can lift it out of the pot and you can prune the roots and you can stick it back in with some fresh soil and hope it continues to stay a similar size. It sounds like a lot of work to me. Or you can transplant it to a bigger pot or a different location where it maybe could roam free. If you don't, what happens? Well, trees in pots that are trying to produce fruit tend to dry out, particularly as the sun, the heat of life tends to increase. And so if a tree is left in a pot, then it's going to be limited in the fruit that it can produce. What if the pot we are sitting in because of the boundaries we've placed on our relationship with God is causing a failure to produce fruit? What if we're not seeing joy, peace, and love because we've put boundaries on God? What if the pot we're sitting in is limited by the ways we limit our engagement with Him in worship? What if the pot we're sitting in is limited by believing false things? What if the pot we're sitting in is limited because we haven't pursued God's invitation to take a small step to a bigger pot? See, the fruit of joy, peace, faith, and love are produced in our lives as we feed on relationship with the Father instead of seeking to work up a favor ourselves. Romans 12:6, as we heard earlier, instructs us to use the gifts that are given to us in accordance with our faith. If you want to grow in the gifts, we need a bigger pot. We need to extend into fresh soil. And that means we need to unlearn things and we need to learn some new things. And we do that as we feed on our relationship with the Father through faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we'll see is the results, not because of our working something up, not because of our striving in ourselves, but according to the grace given to us in relationship with the Father. Do you want to know something else about faith? This really excites me, that faith changes the spiritual atmosphere. See, the gift of faith charges the atmosphere. It gives cause for explosions of faith in others that lights fires of faith in other people's hearts. You see, Romans 10:17, it talks about how faith comes, and it says faith comes from hearing. It's speaking here of saving faith, but what it says of saving faith applies to continuing faith and the gift of faith. As testimony is shared, this increases our confidence that God can work and will work in the future. It fills the air with an expectancy as our spirit longs to see His Spirit at work among us. As the testimony of God is spoken by people often others are healed, just as testimony is spoken. As a word of knowledge or prophecy is given, aligned with the gift of faith, people are often healed in the moment that it is spoken. The gift of faith flames continuing faith, and continuing faith flames saving faith, and together they start fires which can release the gift of faith again, and it continues. You see, as faith is expressed in words, it causes us to realize that we're not a tree that needs repotting. It really does sound like a hard process. I've not done it. We actually already exist in a pot that is bigger than we realize, and we just need the eyes of our hearts opened by the Holy Spirit so that we may see that. See, what if our unbelief causes us to see walls where there are none? What if the pot, rather than questioning why they were made the way they were, sought the purpose of the potter so that they could fulfill their potential in the Lord? So what the gift of faith does is it ignites a desire in people to follow the move of God. But what it also does, and finally, it grows from a relationship with the Father. It grows our relationship with the Father, and it grows from a relationship with the Father. Kind of relationship like Jesus had. Well, what did Jesus do? He heard the Father's words. He obeyed the Father's voice. He did only what the Father said. Faith is not just about us knowing doctrine or figuring out a formula for Christian living, but our lives being the overflow of this relationship with the Father. It's something we cultivate now because it's what produces love in our hearts. What's the opposite of faith? It's not doubt. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." We live by faith, not by sight. And so the opposite of living by faith is living by sight. Could Jesus see everything that the Father was up to? No. But he lived by faith in obedience to his voice. Faith comes how? Faith comes from not seeing, but hearing. We are the Father's children. Faith comes from hearing the Father and the Father's children representing him with words. Faith produces results. How? As it is spoken. Faith comes from hearing. It produces results as it is spoken. And so in the faces of challenges, and as we prayed before, there's many challenges that we as a community are praying for before God, praying to him for him to intercede. In the face of challenges, we deal with reality, but we speak and pray words of faith. See, we as a people step out in faith as we discern what the Father is up to and how we can partner with what we hear him saying. So our faith worked out is not a mathematical formula, but a relational formula that is multiplied as his love is sown into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the Father longs for us and sons and daughters to hear him and to partner with him in seeing his kingdom come and his will be done, to partner with him in the continuing of our faith and seeing the gift of faith come so that more people will continue in faith and more people will be saved by faith. Imagine what we as a community would look like if we fully grasped this. Faith comes through hearing, and then faith comes as we speak the word of God. And imagine what it would look like if the gift of faith was to be released amongst us as a body. And let me pray for that. Father, you love to give good gifts to your children. You absolutely delight in it. We come before you and we trust in your goodness. We trust in your love for us. And Father, so wherever we are in faith, if we're not saved by faith, we ask that you give us that gift of faith. If we need faith to continue, by your grace, increase our faith. Father, please release your gift of faith in your people that we may see the fruit of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.